A homily for the seventh Sunday in ordinary time. Do you realize that so many things are taught these days on the internet? There is a plethora of videos just on social media platforms alone, which give detailed step-by-step instructions on how to do things, how to make things, how to create things, how to play musical instruments, and of course, the favorite of many, how to cook delicious and amazing dishes. And we're not just talking about simple things like a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. I'm talking about those really complex and challenging showstopper dishes like delicate soufflés, flavorful paellas, and delicate and delectable desserts that actually require construction. I'm sure that there are many of these YouTube-taught cooks out there who before had only been capable of perhaps boiling an egg or making cup noodles. These video teachers help many to become proficient in what they were not before. The reason this is possible is largely because these people were taught and shown not only how things are done, but that these things are indeed possible. The best teachers are those who not only teach that things are possible, but also go to great lengths to show by their own lives or examples of demonstration that it is indeed possible. Good teachers instruct, great teachers inspire. While our gospel text today is an expansion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the other two readings lend support to what Jesus is teaching us. Jesus is teaching us one of the most important things and skills that we can ever acquire in life, and it is the importance of being holy, or the imperative of sanctification. Moses in the first reading makes a very general statement: "Be holy, for the Lord your God is holy." Wow, that's a very tough call. I am human, and God is, well, God. I am creature, and God is creator. How on earth am I ever going to have the gall or gumption to aspire to such lofty heights? Is this even at all possible? Should I even have such aspirations? Is this something that is, as they say, out of my league, as a mere mortal who is liable to sin 7 times a day, as the Book of Wisdom tells us? What does it mean to be holy? It has its grounding on what it means to be a Christian. If you understand why we pray, why we have the sacraments, why we are members of the body of Christ, or why we make the effort to do penances and mortifications like fast or do works of mercy, it is precisely because of this. They all help us in some ways to be holy, and they help us on our road towards sanctification. Understood outside of this ultimate reason and rationale, it will only make us Catholics seem like as if we like suffering for the sake of suffering. And there are hospitals for people who suffer from this condition. If I may put it bluntly, if you have no desire at all to be holy, or find living a sanctified life such an unpleasant, repulsive, and maybe detestable idea, you are in the wrong place as a Christian, baptized as a child of God. Having said that, what is most comforting is that God doesn't expect us to be holy overnight. He knows that for most of us, sanctification is not just a process, but a very long process. A journey to become holy as He is holy, perfect as He is perfect, requires the unfolding of time. And we must never forget that the very root of holiness is loving in the way that God is loving. And I do understand that loving as God is loving is incredibly challenging. That is because God loves all with no hint of favoritism or partiality, and if you will, without any limit. Jesus says this so clearly: God the Father causes His Son to rise on bad men as well as good, and his reign to fall on honest and dishonest men alike. That's as unbiased and as egalitarian as you can get. We somehow balk at this kind of equality and unbiasedness. We find it so hard, don't we? It's easy for us to love those who love us back, or at least be kind and patient to those who don't make our lives painful or one that is filled with anguish. But to love just as equally those who are simply nasty, or those who are ungrateful to the core, or those whom you know are going to be biting you back with selfishness, or will never give you the time of day even if you ask them to. To love these people too? Now that's a tough call. But Jesus is clear. When we do this, no matter how hard it is, but when we try, we will show that we have high aspirations to be like our Heavenly Father. As baptized members of the family of our Heavenly Father, we must believe not only that this is a good idea, but that it is indeed possible. We have that potential. And in our second reading, we are told why this is possible. Paul tells the small Corinthian church that each of them is a temple of God, and that because they are temple of God, it makes them sacred. I guess that when we think of temples, or in our case of churches as structures, we get this notion fairly easily. It is well known that in our Catholic liturgy, there are days when incense is used at Mass. Sometimes there is so much smoke used that it literally engulfs the entire sanctuary, enveloping it in smoke. Certainly gives the place a sense of the sacred, and as such, helps to make us realize visually that this is a holy place. As well, this same visual effect happens at the singing of the Holy, Holy, Holy before the consecration takes place, because something extremely sacred and holy is taking place. God is meeting man, and Creator is meeting creature. And in a few moments' time, the bread and wine on the altar are going to become Jesus himself, right there on the table of the Lord's Supper. Body, soul, humanity, and divinity. This is just one of the symbolic ways to remind the people of God that because the temple is sacred, they themselves too are now called to be just as sacred, just as called to sanctification, like that smoke that's all around them. It brings out the truth in St. Paul's teaching. We are indeed incensed temples of God, and there is as such a need to live out this high calling. How do we not languish or become skeptical and treat flippantly the need to be holy as baptized Christians? Do we have a good teacher around? Is there an app for holiness? Everyone's looking for app these days. Can you go into YouTube to get a how-to guide or help menu that gives us step-by-step instructions like those cooking shows on the internet? Well, actually, we do. It's not on the internet, but it has been around since the beginning of Christianity. It's Jesus on the cross. There, he died for all sinners, not just for the good. There, God let his love shine on honest men and dishonest men alike. There, he loved those who refused to love him back. There, he offered his other cheek to those who struck him on his right, and those who tore his clothes off his back and walked up the road to Calvary for us. There, his blood was shed for saints and sinners alike. It was there that when his side was pierced and split open, and to respond to the many demands of humanity, out flowed blood and water to give the world the life that it needs. You see, on Calvary, God didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk, and in so doing, opened for us the way to holiness. My dear brothers and sisters, this call to holiness is truly a non-negotiable and incontrovertible requirement for every one of us in order for us to be fully embraced by the love of God. And if you haven't started yet in life to respond to this call to holiness, it is never too late. And if you have started on this journey to holiness and sanctification, know that it is something that can never be finished. It's always going to be a two steps forward, one step back movement. We are always a work in process. And for this, we have only the mercy of God to be thankful for. God love you.